Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Merry Christmas from the Twilight Zone. Yes, we will be speaking about episode 4A, Traveler, and everything that went with it. The Christmas cheer, the, hey, why is that guy so weird? And so many fun things like, is there really a place called Alaska? Find out about that and more. The Twilight Zone After Show starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I want to say it again. Merry Christmas, everyone, Merry and welcome. Christmas. Welcome to Christmas in the Twilight Zone. Also, thank you to everyone in the audience watching us live for not going out to see Avengers Endgame tonight. We appreciate you staying in and spending your time with us. That movie's going to be out for a little while, so thank you for staying with us. I'm Christian Blatt, joined to talk about A Traveler by
Angelica Trey, but yes, my
Angelica Trey.
A Traveler.
A Traveler. A Trey on social media. A Traveler. Yes. Mm-hmm. And yep. Raven, I'm so sorry. I don't have a pun for your
there
name.
There isn't one. Just call me Raven.
Well, maybe in the next one.
Yes. Yeah, we'll find something. One.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, and speaking of which, anybody who's tuned in right now be like, well, I want to hear what they have to say about the Wonder Kid with John Cho. And that kid from Room. The Room. Nope, just Room. That will be in about an hour if you're watching live. If it's archived, well, then you'll just find it. But we're doing two shows tonight. This is our new night. Is Thursday night. But because we were an episode behind, we're doing a show now and then another one in an hour. But then starting next week, we'll just be at the Thursday at 10 o'clock Pacific time. And again, that's only for our live audience. But I thought I wanted to get all that out of the way up at the front of the show. Now, the best place to start is always overall. What'd you think of the show, Raven?
Well. This show, I will say, I felt a little nostalgic because with the Traveler, that's the character. I'm like, what is his name? With the Traveler, this show felt old school to me. It felt like the show I watched with my mom as a kid.
Sure.
Because he was ghost-like or, you know, yeah, there we go. See? That's what it felt like. It felt like an old school show. So much so that as a child, I was confused sometimes. Just like I was back then. So well, I had to watch it again.
I do think, look, Jordan Peele would tell us that there's a lot of confusion in the Twilight Zone. But you're supposed to be confused because our characters are confused. You don't really know what's going on. Although, you know, I think her character name was Yuka, I mm-hmm. think is how she said it. She was probably the only one who knew that anything. Everybody else is like, ah, it's Christmas, we're getting drunk, and we're fine. She was the only one who was suspicious. What did you think overall? A Traveler.
Oh,
I don't know if I'll do it. I don't know if I'll do it every time, but I will do it occasionally throughout the episode.
Well, okay. Yeah, all right, there we go.
That's two or three. I already lost track.
All right. So yeah, let's keep count on that. I thought this episode two was very kind of cryptic, very mysterious. Yeah. And I was left asking questions, and all throughout it, my predictions, because I naturally just do this, my predictions towards what's actually going to happen just kept shifting mm-hmm. throughout this episode, and I found myself just wanting Jack to get his piece of pie.
Yeah.
I wanted pie.
I also, yeah, I didn't really feel like I wanted pie, but then he said it enough, and I'm like, you know, I could really go for some pie right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know, I mean, it's, you know, when you have any kind of anthology show, you're always getting sort of like a slice of everybody's lives. No pun intended with the pie. Really, seriously, not intended, but now I'm kind of happy I said it. And I think that, you know, it's always tough to like, well, we got to get caught up in all these people's lives, and we only have like 45 minutes with them to advance the story. So, you know, they definitely pick and choose. And yeah, you always feel like You're always playing catch up, at least in the first few minutes. But I thought they did a good job of setting up you know, just this remote location. Ikuk? What was the name of the town? I had it.
Iklak.
Yeah. Well, my apology. I don't even know if it's a real town, actually. My apologies to all the people in Alaska, if I got you.
Yes.
I like that they're closer to the North Pole than they are to anything else. But look, I mean, you know, you feel like that's certainly grounded in reality. I mean, they're closer to Russia than they are to, you know, the continental United States. So I thought that the setting was interesting. I thought Greg Kinnear did a great job as a guy. You know, he's basically like from The Office, either Steve Carell or Ricky Gervais, depending on which. It's like the boss that nobody likes, but he thinks everybody loves him. So he's just, you know, he's just like, all right, now it's with the time, which you're all waiting for. Everybody's like, I just want to go home, but, you know, you're our boss. We have to, we're on the clock. So I thought he did a good job of that. You know, it's a slightly, mildly racist version towards the Inuit people. But I thought it was a lot of times I'm finding with this show, and we'll talk about this when we talk about episode 5, I'm finding the setup to be really intriguing and interesting, even if I'm not quite sure where it's going and if I don't love everything. I'm always like, well, this is interesting at least. And then when we get to the end of the episode, I always feel like somebody else wrote the last few pages.
Yes.
Like, the writer's room works like, it's almost like a Choose Your Own Adventure or Mad Libs or something. It's like, look, you write the last three pages of mine. I'll write the last three pages of yours. Would you want to read the first part? No, I got it. I'm just going to go. Because a lot of times it's just like, look, it's Twilight Zone. It's supposed to be that shocking ending. It's supposed to be the, you know, Burgess Meredith and Time Enough at Last. He's the last man in the world and finally has time enough to read all the books he never had the chance to read. But, oh, my God, he breaks his glasses. That's crazy. So it's like, if you're always trying to do that, it's like M. Night Shyamalan movies. Like, once he had The Sixth Sense, it was always, well, now I have to have a crazy twist at the end. And the crazy twist was never good after that.
Right.
Because it was so forced. And I'm starting to feel like there's a mandate, like, well, you know, you need to have a crazy twist at the end. And we'll sort of go back and break things down. But am I crazy?
So,
do you think that the endings are not really fitting the stories, or is it just me?
Okay, so
I'll ask you first.
Yeah, so
a trailer.
Oh my gosh, again. And another one.
Thank you.
Thanks. So what I gathered a bit from what you're saying is, I wasn't sure if you're saying it felt inconsistent like halfway through.
No, it's really the endings, like the last few minutes.
Okay.
You know, like they're going for like, aha, gotcha.
Yeah.
And in so doing, they make me like the whole episode less. You know, I think that it's not as clear cut as with Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, where it's like if you just end it before we see them on, you know, on the little island, it's kind of perfect. It's great. That's a good ending. These other ones don't have an ending and then an extra tacked on thing. It's like the ending itself just doesn't seem to mesh with the story that we saw before. But I don't know. Maybe just I'm feeling that way. I'll ask you the same question, Raven. But what do you think, Angelica?
Well, I've definitely felt that in terms of, you know, a couple of the earlier episodes in this season. However, I did find the Traveler episode, this particular one, it seemed to tie itself up pretty well. I felt like the you know, ending scene felt pretty fitting, especially when Jack finally got his pie and he's eating in that cell. And it was almost like this makes no difference to me, whoever's running the game here.
I kind of liked when he said, like, I feel like you guys would do a better job.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you know what? Yeah, it's like, you know, there's a lot of allegories to the real world in the Twilight Zone. And that's consistent all the way back to the original incarnation of the series. It's just the idea of, like, you know what? We've had these guys running things for a while, so let's just have somebody else do it. Let's see what happens. And you know, the big reveal that he was indeed an alien. Yeah, it's more consistent in this one, but it's almost like when they're at the base and like the last scene where you see like the ships coming in. I don't know. I thought
that was the end.
I mean, that was the end.
I thought that when the aliens and
I
thought so. Then when it kept going, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, we got to see him have his pie, but I thought that was the end.
I find myself rolling my eyes so much at the ends of these episodes that it actually makes my head hurt. But maybe it's just me. What do you think, Raven, about this ending in particular?
This one in particular? Okay. the shot back to, I don't know which one of you said it, but when he revealed himself as an alien, that made me laugh because dude just turned around like, no, didn't see that. I'm just gonna walk away.
Jack turned around and he's just like, okay, you know,
and left. This is not happening. I'm still drunk. And I'm just going to turn around and walk away. This isn't happening. I thought that was cool and a cool kind of distance shot that they did there. But this, it's hard for me to even say just the ending because the
well, you can talk about it as a whole. That's
right,
fine.
The whole show for me, this one just wasn't as captivating as the other shows. Even if I didn't really care for another show or anything like that, it was still something captivating about it. This one was not for me. I found myself just looking for the gremlins and things, like looking for some of the Easter eggs and things like that. It wasn't captivating. I started doing more things like, oh, his acting is cool. And I started getting more into that kind of technical aspect of it because the story itself it wasn't grabbing me like the other ones did.
I mean, I found a lot of the setup about a traveler, you know, that's played by Steven Yeun from Walking Dead. I thought it was interesting, you know, the fact that he like plays up like, oh my God, this is such an honor to be here, because he knew how to play up a small town sheriff like Greg Kinnear, and you know, and he's there, he's enjoying the party, he's singing karaoke, you know. And then like, oh yeah, by the way, I know the deepest, darkest secrets of everyone in the town. But anyway, let me get back to my song. So I found elements of it fun and it was always interesting. I think that this one, maybe it was just an overall sense of, you know, it wasn't necessarily satisfying, but I think that the cast did a great job with it. And I don't know. I mean, anytime you get to play a creepy, mysterious character who's overdressed and shows up, you know, shows up in a prison cell on Christmas Eve, I mean, that's pretty great.
Yeah, it sounds like my weekends. That's how I show up.
I was pleasantly surprised with the acting as well. Mm-hmm. And you have the IMDb pulled up,
yes.
Right? So the actress who played Yuka...
Yeah, Marika Sila, she is a Canadian-based actress, but she's actually Inuit. And so there was a lot of excitement on Twitter from the Inuit community.
Oh, nice.
Because a lot of times, look, a lot of shows, you have anybody who looks vaguely Asian played by another kind of vaguely Asian, you know?
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
right.
you have actresses who just, you know, sometimes they're Hawaiian or Chinese or Korean. And honestly, I think that to viewers that aren't any of those ethnicities, I don't think you even think about it, you know? So I think it's great to just, you know, take the care and actually like, well, you know, it's such an important part of who she is. Let's actually get an Inuit actress. And, you know, I don't think there's much that American audiences would have seen her, and I certainly hadn't seen her before. But I thought she was great. And, you know, because she's sort of she's us in this episode. Doesn't anybody wonder about that crazy cell phone that he has? You know, that's like, nobody's ever seen a cell phone that looks like that, but it's like, oh, this must be a new one. All right, yeah, I'll take a selfie with you. You know?
I did like that.
Yeah.
I like that she really was us. Like, we're just going to pretend this is normal, guys. The guy is appearing.
She's the only one doing actual police work. She's like, let me call. You know, clearly there's only one hotel in town. It's like, you don't have, like, this guy staying with you. Well, he couldn't possibly be staying anywhere else because there's nowhere else to stay. So I thought she was great, and I did love her brother. I think. You know,
Jack was my favorite.
Yeah.
Character
look,
this whole
if
episode.
Anybody from these first five episodes got their own spinoff, Jack is the one I'd want to see. I want to see him getting drunk at the bar and not stealing tools from the shed.
And that was another interesting thing because as we saw, a traveler, he knew a lot of deep, dark secrets. But he also was, you know, selling these like kind of misleading secrets as well. So it was him sort of manipulating people this whole time. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's real. You don't know what's fake. And I think that was a fun thing as well. But another thing I think going off of, you know, some of the casting and as well as the directing is this is the only episode, I think, in the new series that is directed by a woman, correct?
I do believe you're correct. It was directed by a woman. I can't say that I know off the top of my head about the other episodes, but yeah, her name was Anna Lily Amirpour. I definitely got probably all those wrong. Well, not the Anna. The Anna was probably right. No, it's really just the amour-propre.
So that was something that I thought was very interesting. And also, there is a character at the sheriff's office during the Christmas party that is named after the only female director from the original series as well.
Wow. All right. So somebody did some digging. All right.
A little bit.
Because I don't think you just watched it and you're like, wait a minute.
Wait a second. Uh-huh. There actually was a moment like that for me, though, in this, where if anyone noticed this, it's kind of like an Easter egg. But so Steven Yeun's character, Traveler, he said that he got an ID, right?
Yeah.
And they see his ID. Did anyone happen to notice the address?
I
read about this, but now I
recognize
what it was.
The address because I used to live in Silicon Valley.
It's Facebook's address.
Facebook.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
I was like, is that Hacker Way?
Right. Which I think
I'm
is
so
great
glad
because
I can't even read my writing.
Obviously, you know, he's there to play up on the, you know, look, if there's ever any place to play up the fear of Russians, it's, you know, when you're, 20 miles across the Bering Strait from it. I think that those nice little touches. There was also a wrapping paper that had the dummy, like as in the ventriloquist dummy from the original series. Mm-hmm. And this episode in itself is not adapted from an original series episode, but there's some themes that are very common, like the monsters you do on Maple Street. And will the real Martian stand up? So, you know, and I think that there's so many episodes of the original series that when you have any – if you're going to deal with aliens, there's going to probably be elements that feel similar. So,
well, share with us. What made them so similar?
I mean, basically because they dealt with aliens.
Oh, just aliens.
No, I mean it was – no, but there were – it's not even exact moments, but just sort of like the – when the townspeople started turning against each other, that's out of the Monsters Do on Maple Street. And so I actually – they didn't stay with it like they did in that show. Mm-hmm. But I thought that that was, you know, it was interesting to kind of get some of those things. And will the real Martian please stand up, you know, a traveler, you know, in the cell, like, did you see those antennas? No, that's crazy.
Now, why you look like a snail.
Yeah, right, exactly. So like that stuff was very reminiscent of those original episodes. Mm-hmm. Did you have another thought there, Raven? I didn't want to step
on
that.
Since you guys were talking about some of the kind of Easter eggs, I didn't see these at all, by the way. So, guys, you know, I'm not going to take credit. I researched it. So, because I knew it was there, but I couldn't rewind it.
Nothing wrong with research.
On the code when they had to get in.
Oh, yeah. Was it 10:15?
Yes, it was.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't think of it, but then when you asked it, I'm like, oh, there's only...
You already knew it.
Yeah, that's great.
You didn't know it, but you knew it.
They said the gremlin was on the tree, but I didn't see it. And I watched it again, and I didn't see it.
Did anybody in the chat, and I want to get to your comments in the chat in a minute. There's been some great insight there.
Yes.
Did anybody in the chat notice the gremlin or the ventriloquist dummy? Let us know if you saw. Do you have some other ones?
This is one more that I don't know how anyone would catch this, but on the road sign, there is, on the road sign, say the city. I'm going to mess it up. Where are
Igloc?
They? Okay.
Igloc.
It was 5 miles to Igloc, 5 and 10 miles to the Air Force Base.
Yes.
You say those together, and that's 510, which is Lasky's car, squad car number.
Oh.
So when he was driving up the top view is 510.
Now, I think, you know, when you binge all of the shows together is the only time that you might notice things like that. But
and the kid... the Wonder Kid was also on the magazines.
In this episode?
Yes.
In episode 4, the Wonder Kid was... Oh, see, that's great. Yeah, and it's hard to say, like, what order they filmed them in anyway, by the way. Mm-hmm. But
so now what's going to happen in the end? Will it all be just some mesh of all the shows coming together?
I kind of hope not, but it'll be interesting if they try that.
Very.
Before we move on, someone on that side of the desk has an important message. I don't know who they decided has an important message. Is it Raven? Is it A. Traveler because it's her episode? I don't know.
It is your episode.
This is your episode. It's named after you.
It kind of is.
You guys, I told you not to tell them about how I'm an alien. The world's not ready for that.
It's true.
Okay, guys. I will do it. I will take the ring. So, hey guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. For us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us in doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows.
Yes, guys.
Yes.
Thank you.
So thank you, guys.
Yes, thank you all. And before we move back to our thoughts, I do want to share some of these great comments from the chat. First of all, one of our commenters has a great username, a Silent Koala. Thank you, Silent Koala. I thought this was funny. We're only here because we couldn't get Avengers tickets. And then .. And because we love the hosts of this show. So thank you for the second part. But I know that the first part was the only part that was true. Leo Lima says, the plot of this episode and 5 would have worked better as a miniseries of maybe 3 episodes. Like in this one, a traveler going to different places or whatever. I don't know. I feel like I didn't need more of either of them, but I could see like you could certainly have a more involved story, but I think you would still tell, you would just basically stretch out the existing story. But I mean, a lot of these episodes, I feel like, yeah, they're certainly, you could live in this world a little bit longer than just one standalone episode. Raven, have you felt that about any of them in particular that, you know, oh, we could have done more with this? Or do you feel like that they tend to really tie it up nice and neat?
I actually really enjoyed the show after.
The next one.
I enjoyed the Wonder
Okay, Gate. So we'll talk about that in an hour, but it's really in like 20, 25 minutes we'll talk about that. What about you, Angelica?
Oh, you're almost
I did it too many times.
So, just in terms of how we're wrapping these shows up, or
well, just sort of what the comment from Leo Lima in the chat, which is that some of these would work better if they were, you know, miniseries instead of just a one standalone episode. Are there any of the episodes, you know, through the first 5 that you feel like would work better if we got more? Personally, I feel like they tie up at least reasonably well, but.
Yeah.
I thought it was an interesting idea.
Well, I think, you know, thus far the writing has set it up in a way where it's sort of like that, like you kind of mentioned, a slice of life. You know, we get launched into the story. It's a little cryptic, and then we kind of got, you know, we get spit out at the end, and we're sitting there kind of dazed and confused, wondering, what's going on? What did I just watch?
Right.
There's a little bit of that charm to these episodes. You know, that being said, I'm sure they could elongate some of these out. In my personal preference, I would almost like some of these episodes to maybe be shorter. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are a lot of scenes that maybe aren't necessary.
There's occasionally a feeling of some padding, you know, you know, I mean, when we covered Nightmare at 30,000 Feet, I couldn't believe it was so short. But now it's like I can't imagine some of these other ones being any longer than they were.
Right.
Oddly enough, I think The Comedian is the only one that's kind of been the right length. And mm-hmm. you'd think that story didn't need to be an hour, but I feel like it's the one that worked best at that length. But let us know what else you think there in the chat. And Lilium also says that sort of my overall feeling about the way these endings are starting to feel a little bit tacked on. We'll talk about that in episode 5. That's the one where I'm just oh, come on.
Really?
Yeah, but we'll talk about it. So we'll teasing it forward to
join us, guys.
We've talked a little bit about, the cast of the episode, it's really only, as in a lot of these episodes, there's only really a few people who have the majority of the dialogue. I think they do a good job with the supporting cast, like the mayor who has a couple lines, all that stuff. It's all fine, but none of those people really stand out. But I think that, you know, you get somebody like Greg Kinnear, you're going to get a mostly unlikable, like Lane Pendleton, is the captain that... A traveler pretends that everybody is so excited to be pardoned by him. Yeah, I feel you feel like small towns like this probably have a lot of traditions like that.
I thought that was hilarious.
That the tradition is that somebody gets pardoned?
Yes, and that there was no one there. We're going to go arrest someone.
Well, she's going to get her brother so that he gets a good meal and he can sleep off the, you know. Right.
I just thought it was funny, too, the idea of, like, let's just set a criminal free every year. Let's do that for fun.
Right.
However, and obviously, Jack was not.
Right, and I would say that it's probably in a town where they don't really have a lot of criminals. You
right,
know?
Not violent. Yeah.
Right. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, that's true. You know, maybe mm-hmm. there's, yeah, maybe
you know,
there's
a little drunk here.
Probably drunk and disorderly. Something. You know, yeah. when you're up there, you know, there's not much to do. I thought that they did some cool effects where they had with the Northern Lights. You know, I thought mm-hmm. that, you know, it just sort of lets you know right away where they are. And I mean, I've been to Alaska, not that part, but it's beautiful. But you know, it's nicer when maybe. You don't live somewhere like that. I grew up in a small town, but it wasn't like 900 people, you know, basically right. on the border with Russia. So, I don't know. I think that they tap into that stuff really well in this story. So, again, most of the episodes, like this one, I like up until a point. And I like while we're trying to figure it out. You know, was there any point, I'll ask you first, Angelica, did you think, like, oh, this dude's definitely an alien? Or did you think any of the other things, like, could he be a Russian agent or any of that stuff? What did you think as the episode was unfolding might be a traveler's story?
Right. So when I first saw, you know, when we were first introduced to a traveler's character, obviously, you know, I'm geared towards science fiction, so it's a little interesting to see where my mind goes. It wasn't quite alien this time. It was actually time traveler. So I was thinking time travel.
That actually makes perfect sense.
And that he was like going back in time to maybe collect souvenirs or something along the way or just ruffle up history.
Okay.
I don't know.
So that's a great story
thank you.
I don't even know that it's a Twilight Zone, but you need to we need to edit that out of this episode. And then you can take it and
you go write it.
Yes. You go around town and pitch it. Because I love that idea. The time travelers, it's like, you know, because when you time travel, you're not really supposed to, you know, do anything that interferes. But you feel like you can take some selfies. It's going to be all right.
Right.
You know? It's not going to hurt anybody. You know? Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know.
It's like that whole time traveling, kind of like a sound like thunder vacationing situation. So I was thinking that for a bit. And then obviously the oh my gosh, you have snail antennas situation came
out. Think
and I was like, this is a little different.
You didn't think he was an actual snail?
No. Oh my gosh, if this was an Animorph crossover... So exciting.
We'll see. So there's a lot of options.
I'm giving them some ideas.
You're giving for season
Jordan
2.
We are in the writing room.
And we know Jordan Peele watches. So he should have a yellow legal pad like Raven does and be jotting down all these ideas.
Jordan.
Raven, what did you think? Did you think like this dude's an alien or?
Okay. So very first introduction, I didn't know. I'm just like, are we looking at a ghost here? Until Greg can also see the person.
Right.
When I watch television, I go where you take me. So that's what I mean, that this show is very cerebral. You see, she's thinking up things. I don't want to do that.
I try to predict the ending.
Yeah.
I am that way. I'm like, what's going to happen? I bet this is going to happen. And then I start eliminating things.
See, I'm just... Like, what's happening? I'm waiting like Yuka. Like, hey,
but that's a cool
who is this person? You know, I'm not having any...
Yeah, a ghost.
I knew it wasn't
a
ghost after Greg could
well,
see him as
well. Well, especially
because
he just materializes in the cell. So
yeah.
I think at that first instance, I thought that it could have been that. I wish I'd had your time travel idea.
I know.
But, and then you just start to think like, all right, probably not. Look... He doesn't look like a Russian agent. I think that they would look different. I'm just gonna put it out there. I don't know that that's what they would look like. But I think it's fun to kind of be along for the ride. But I sort of split the difference. I think a little bit about what it might be, but you know, it's I do want to kind of be led there, and then. I don't know. What I don't want to do is come up with what I think the ending should be, and then my ending's better than what they go with. So now
I'm constantly disappointed. I'm just kidding.
Because your endings are always better. You know,
time
I think
travelers,
I'm going to do that for episode 6, and I'm going to be like, oh, I wish I hadn't come up with my ending because It's so much better. What were some of the other things that stood out throughout the course of the episode?
I think Raven's idea of it being a ghost, I could see that sort of playing off of the idea of Ghost of Christmas Past. So I think that's a pretty logical conclusion.
Yeah, because it is Christmas. To. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, and it's always interesting when it's like, you know, it's a new episode that posted in April. So it was like, it's like, okay, we're just doing Christmas right now, which works for the Twilight Zone. You know, it's not like you decide, I'm going to watch It's a Wonderful Life, even though it's April. You know, this is just sort of like, oh, and by the way, it's Christmas. So, you know, it's fun. And, you know, I should have gotten out my karaoke machine at home and sang along with A Traveler. I think that really lends itself to the idea that maybe he should have been a ghost. So now we've rewritten the episode.
Yes. So it's a new episode.
What you're telling me is you did not bring your karaoke machine, because I did vocal warm-ups on my way in here.
I did not bring it with me today, for next Thursday.
Yes.
All right.
We'll do a sing-along of the Twilight Zone.
I'm not
theme.
Disappointed.
No. Nor should you be. So anyway, I think that... you know, this. Do we want to give this episode a letter grade? I guess before we wrap things up, because they definitely have me interested for a while. But I think a lot of these shows, a lot of these episodes, they've largely ended up by the time it's over. Like throughout this episode, I was probably like, oh, this is a strong like B+, and then I'm like, oh man, it's like a C. You know, it kind of always ends up feeling more average than I think it should. They have this great setup potential. I don't know. Angelica, if you had to give it, first of all, would you give A Traveler an A? Or is that a little bit...
I would give that performance an A.
I think he was great. Yeah.
I thought he did a great job. And of course, you know, they maintain some sort of consistency with this series so far that I wouldn't necessarily make consistent in terms of, you know, Twilight Zone as a whole in terms of, like, the original series.
Sure.
However, you know, they maintain consistency in terms of, like, Jordan Peele. There's kind of race relations going on here. And they've been raising that social awareness along the way. And then they kind of flipped it with a little bit of a sci-fi spin on it with the aliens. So, you know, it was an interesting episode, and I did like finding those little Easter eggs as well, just being like, okay, so he's from Facebook headquarters.
Yeah.
But then Yuka calls Los Angeles to see if he's actually a resident, what's going on. That's the Bay Area. This is Southern California. Right. Like, little things like that were kind of fun to catch in this. However, in terms of the story, I think it was a very simple story that maybe was told over the course of an hour. And, you know, they did somewhat of a good job in terms of, like, playing all of the townsfolk against each other in that time.
Which I liked when we saw them again later in the episode. Still they were actually fighting. Still fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's almost like, oh, this is an episode we could have done.
Right.
It's going on over here, but we're focused on A Traveler. So I thought that was interesting. It's like, of course they're going to still fight.
You know? I like the idea that there was a lot to unpack within this town itself, and then... sort of the, like, fear-mongering that the alien does. There were a lot of things in here. However, it was executed in a way that perhaps was a little lackluster. But I did enjoy this episode.
So if you gave it a letter grade, what would it be?
We're on this letter grade thing?
Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot.
Aw.
I'm
glad you're first.
You're glad I'm first.
Look, I've given it a C, so you know, you can grade it.
I'll give it a C plus.
Oh, okay. So you know, it's like you're just a little.
I think there's
bit above
potential.
Average.
I think there's potential. And I
by the way, if they
it.
Ever did a follow up episode where A Traveler showed up again for some reason, I think that would actually be really interesting because I feel like that character could just waltz into anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What did you think, Raven, in terms of a letter grade?
I feel bad. So,
don't
okay.
make her.
You know, Jordan Peele doesn't really watch. It's okay.
I'm sorry, Jordan.
I know you watch. I got the social commentary. I thought seeing them still fighting was hilarious.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did have moments of like, wow, we will believe anything, humans. And just relating it to the world today. And
humans are so stupid. Am I right or am I right?
Those humans. I mean, I'm not an alien.
seeing them turn on each other so fast when it was harmonious at first, that's how I feel right now.
In the world everybody had the Christmas cheer, but then like that, it's like, well, you voted for who?
A strange man who we don't even know where he came from. Now everybody's believing this, although he was already caught in a lie. He should just be a liar. But now people are questioning things. People are still fighting. I put that to today.
That sounds kind of like a Christmas party to me, you know? You're at family Christmas. You got the uncle. That's just...
This is so true.
So you had a bunch of random stuff.
Yeah, this is any holiday gathering. Yeah.
Your family's fighting.
Yeah. It felt like home. It was cozy to me.
The guy passed out who's way too drunk is the one who's just like, can I just get some effing pie, please?
Yeah, he just wanted some pie. And honestly, most relatable
character. I'm having pie after this.
And Raven, I'm not letting you off the hook.
I get it. I got the social commentary and everything, but something fell flat for me. It's a C.
So it's a C traveler for you.
It's a C traveler.
So all across the board, it's a C traveler, which is fine. You know, look, it's still above average.
I was going to say C plus.
I wanted to tie in, because you alluded to this, and while we were talking, I looked it up. Thanks to the website Vulture, this is where that came from. So, yes, there's a character named Ida Lupino, and that's an actress who starred in a memorable Twilight Zone episode called The 16mm Shrine, and then is the only episode directed by a woman. She also directed the episode called The Masks. So that's exactly what you were talking about earlier, so we've tidied that up. And then the other thing was that the actress who played Yuka,
fireworks.
Yes, website says that she is an Inuit artist, because actress, yoga teacher, fire performer, and youth facilitator. But the best credit of all, she was also named the 2017 Canadian Hooper of the Year, thanks to her hoop dancing skills. So I said she didn't have a lot of credits, but I sit corrected, because what's a better credit than being a hoop dancer of the year?
Actually, I think that was her audition tape. Her audition tape was actually hooping with fire.
Why was there not more hooping?
I know. I know.
And again, her name is Marika Sila. I hope we see her. I hope that this gets her a lot of roles in the future, and that we see more of her. In any case, you'll see more of us in just a few short minutes, because we will all, for those watching live, we'll be doing our review of episode 5, The Wonderkind, and you can see us there. But until then, thanks to everybody who joined us in the chat for joining us. Raven, where do people find you?
Guys, you can find me on all social media at Raven French, Raven with an I.
And you can find me on most platforms as a Trey. AYYTRAE, though. So it's a little different spelling.
Somebody might be a snail, but we'll find out.
I might be a snail Martian. You'll never know I slither away.
That's true. You guys won't see it, but I'll tell you in the next episode if she slithers away. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. And at the top of the show, I mentioned Avengers Endgame. You can find a special Sunday night edition of Marvel Movie News over on the Popcorn Talk Network, where we will finally get to share all of our spoilers with you that we've been keeping bottled up the last couple days. So that will be at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Always get mistaken trying to, you know, put those East Coast people first. So 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific over on the Popcorn Talk Network. That's Marvel Movie News. But look for us in just a few short minutes.
Yes.
We'll be talking about The Wonderkind right here. But until then, stay Twilight? I don't know. That's a good sign-off. Yes. Stay zoned. What do you think about that? All right, we'll see everybody in a little bit. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.